Hello, welcome back to the Matt Pfeiffer Experience. I am your host, Matthew Pfeiffer, and I have on a very special guest today. Her name is Billie, and she is all the way out from Gilbert, Arizona, and she runs Modern Law. And I'm excited to have this conversation with you. She has a wealth of knowledge, and she is a gem. She does so many different things, which I'm not going to get into because I don't want to miss anything. I will allow for her to tell you all of the different aspects of things that she does. This is the first time that I've actually talked to another pretty much full-time creator the way that I am, someone who she not only does she have podcasts, but she creates a lot of different content and has a lot of different opportunities. I think that you guys are going to learn a lot from her, and I can't wait for you guys to connect with her and to pull from her experience. And so, Billie, welcome to the Matt Pfeiffer Experience. Thank you so much. I'm going to kick it over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us how did you get started?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it very much. So the way I got started was I was in college and I knew I was going to law school. And when that happened, my parents also went through a divorce and it was relatively unexpected and it was messy. And as a young adult, you're often privy to maybe more details than you should be. And you experience your parents' divorce differently. And to me, it just made a lot of sense. Like, so what I saw was, wow, this is real people law. This really matters. This is at the crux of the human experience. I don't want to be bored and pushing around papers. I'm going to be a family law attorney.
Yeah.
So I made that decision when I was 20. And that's all I've ever done, except that I've done a whole lot of other business things surrounding family law. So I really live in the universe that is family law.
You know, it's funny that you mention how that divorce impacted you as a young adult, because I think that the narrative is, and you hear people say this all the time, that I'm going to wait until my kids graduate, or I'm going to wait until my kids are older or in college. And I think that the perception is that it's going to be like less impactful, and that's just not true. It's still going to be an impact. And so I'm not telling people not to get a divorce. I think that if you feel like it's in your best interest, if it's in your family's best interest, if the relationship is unhealthy, you should do it. But I don't think necessarily you should wait until they're older, because it's still going to impact them in different ways. But can you know, I'll allow for you to kind of speak on that from your perspective. Do you feel like it still had an impact, and have you seen that be impactful to clients that you worked with through the years?
Definitely. I used to think that it was harder on teens or young adults because they do see so much and they kind of have a lot of opinions. And young adults and teenagers very much live in a black and white world. You know, they don't have a lot of room for nuance, just developmentally, brain-wise. But I really think that the way people divorce is more impactful than the developmental stage your kids might be at or anything else. And I think we've come so far as a society understanding the how you get divorced matters a lot.
Yeah. And what do you mean by that, Ben? When you say how you get divorced, do you mean like highly contested versus being amicable? How would someone know like the difference or differentiate, you know, between the two, where they know that maybe this is a little bit more healthy, where it's not going to impact them as much?
Sure. So, I mean, conflict, your children being exposed to conflict, no matter what age they are, is bad for them. If it can be avoided, you should do what you can to avoid it. Now, of course, it takes two people to avoid it, but you, if you're headed to a divorce and you have children, you want to think very, very strategically and be very, very careful tactically, not just how you set yourself up in your divorce, but how is this impacting my children? So I ended up going through my own divorce in 2019. So 2017 is when we first separated. So it's been, you know, quite a few years now, but tactically thinking about how to shield my children from as much as possible was just always on my mind. And I know it's always on the mind of all parents. No parents want to screw their kids up. And it's probably the reason why people can avoid divorce for as long as many of them do.
Do you feel that some people can, do you think that there's times where someone might shield their kids to a fault, where maybe they are either A, not giving enough information, or they are just, I mean, it gets to a point where they're just not being truthful with their kids about, you know, how bad things actually are getting. What are your thoughts on that? Is that really an actual thing, or are they leaning towards the right mode if that's the situation?
So all the research that I have seen suggests conflict is bad. And if you can shield your kids from conflict, you should do it. And they don't need to know the truth. They don't need to know about the drama of what went down in your marriage.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I know this is a common question. I'm sure you've seen it as well, where people wonder if they should tell their kids about an affair, or should I, you know, do I wait to tell them about the affair? Should I tell them at all? You know, and I know that for some people, they really want to tell them because they want to pull the kids on their side. So I wanted to drop that in there, you know, as you're kind of answering, but I'll let you finish.
I mean, the answer is unequivocally no. Your children do not need to know about the stuff that went down between the two of you. They do need to know, in my opinion and in my experience, when it is directly impacting them, they need to know. And all of the information that you filter to your kids, everything you tell them should be about what do they need to know because of how it impacts them, not you.
Yep, absolutely. Do you feel like that's where people make the mistake, is that they make it all about themselves?
I mean, it's just so hard. I don't want to say that they make it all about themselves. It's just really hard. Children are so often put into the middle and impacted by parental conflict. It happens. It happens all the time. I know that my oldest kiddo got pulled into conflict between my ex and I about our third kiddo. Because that's just how it goes. And, you know, my therapist, as I was unloading about how hard this is, was like, well, you got to tell them the truth. And I was just like, no, I don't. I don't have to tell him the truth. I have to tell him what he needs to hear. And what he needed to hear from me was, whatever you want to do as a young adult, I'm here to support you. And if you have questions, I'll answer them. I will tell you the truth. But like, you have to leave your kids out of your drama.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in terms of your actual practice, you know, the cases that you take on, you've been doing this for a long time. So first of all, thank you for all the work that you've done and work that your team has done and the team that you've put together. With all of the experience that you've had over the years, over the two decades that you've been doing this, have you noticed any differences, any changes in terms of the way that people divorce, or patterns of divorce? Do you feel like they're becoming more contentious, less contentious? Do you see any differences between the way that people are divorcing, how they're divorcing, and maybe some of the patterns that maybe you've seen when people very first got started?
That's a great question. And I don't know that I have an entirely good answer. Mm-hmm. Usually when people come to lawyers, it's because things are bad.
Right.
And so I tend to talk to people who have very high conflict cases. But we also have had and do have a sister company that does uncontested low conflict divorces. I wish there were more of those, but there aren't. Or they're not needing assistance. I do feel like I felt a huge cultural shift in 2020 and 2021, but it wasn't specific to clients. It was literally everyone. Coworkers, people in stores, like culturally, we were under so much pressure that the general behavior and tolerance that we had for one another just went down.
I noticed that as well. I noticed in 2020 that big shift. This was my opinion. I'll see if this was something that you saw as well. I think that in 2020, obviously with the pandemic, you know, with people not working, and it forced people to actually look at things that, you know, it, you know, a lot of times people say like, well, it, you know, that was the cause of the divorce. I felt like there was already issues long before 2020. And then when people were in the same house and they had to actually deal with each other, they couldn't mask work. They couldn't mask the kids' soccer games and everything. And it really forced people to actually look at it. And the other thing that I noticed is that people who, because we remember when the pandemic happened, it happened during divorce season, you know, right in February or March. So a lot of people, and I'm sure you do the same thing, especially with high conflict divorces, especially if there was domestic violence. You know, people oftentimes will tell you not to say anything until the very last minute where you can actually leave. Well, people didn't have that opportunity in a lot of situations. They filed, and then out of nowhere, you know, everything was shut down. And so people were aware of their situation. And it created a lot of different types of conflict. And the only way people were able to find any sort of relief were, you know, situations with people or creators that had podcasts like yourself or like myself, or people who were creating content that they could watch it from home. That was kind of what my takeaways from everything. Was that your experience, or do you have a different perception of how everything rolled out?
It's a great question. So I know going into the pandemic, we all anticipated divorce rates would spike.
Yeah.
And I don't think they did. I think we were surprised to find that they didn't, but I haven't looked at this in several years.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is, in some ways, the pandemic was a real blessing for families. Yeah. Families got, you know, money pumped into their households.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, savings was at an all-time high after the pandemic. And people had more time to spend with their children and their families than ever before. So for some families, the pandemic was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And for other families,
I know a lot of babies were born after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for other families, those families that were truly dysfunctional, there were plenty of families who I talked to after the pandemic who were going through a divorce based on alcoholism, newfound alcoholism that came from the pandemic. So it just was so polarizing, and people experienced it so differently. And if you were a victim of domestic violence or you're in an unhealthy or unsafe situation, it was like just the worst because there was nowhere to leave. You had no outlets. Children who were abused didn't get to go to school. Like, it was just so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there definitely was a lot going on around that time. And I think that we're still feeling a lot of the impacts from that situation, from the pandemic, and there was so much that happened during that time, and I don't even know if we'll even figure out all of the effects and all of the impacts that may have had until, you know, for several years, maybe even a decade into it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was such a shakeup of so many things, and then it just kept piling on. You know, we had George Floyd, we had the election. It's like, I don't think we've recovered. I think we've changed, and I don't know that we'll ever go back.
One of the things that happened during the pandemic, and I actually saw this on one of your videos here recently on social media, and a hot topic that happened during 2023 is this topic of parental alienation. Some people don't even believe that parental alienation even exists, that it's just a made up concept. There's other people that not only believe it, but feel like they're actually experiencing it. Can you talk about it from a legal standpoint? You know, what's the views from the judge's standpoint, from a lawyer's standpoint? Does it exist? Is it, you know, does it happen? Do people actually weaponize your children, or is it a situation where you have people who are actually just trying to keep their children from an abusive parent? What does it look like from your perspective and from the other side of it?
I think if you ask any legal professional, they will tell you it's real. We have seen it. We've seen it over and over and over again, where non-abusive parents lose their relationship with their child. But I also completely understand why it is so controversial. We have a client right now who is the preferred parent, and her access has been cut off from her child for 90 days. That child has been in a mental institution for 20 of those days because that child doesn't want to be with dad. And like, it's just such a complicated situation because many times parents might not know they're alienating. They really might not be self-aware enough to know that their behaviors and the way we talk to our kids has such an impact on how they feel, how they behave, how they feel about the other parent. And so you may be an alienator and not know it and think you're just protecting your child. But so it's so much of this is about having mentally healthy people who have self-awareness and get therapy and understand child development. And of course we don't all have that. So we've got a big mess on our hands.
Right. It definitely creates, a huge mess, for people who are in these type of situations. What do you typically advise for people who feel, I guess we can talk about both ends of it. Let's talk about, first of all, the person who feels like they are being alienated. What do you typically advocate, or what advice would you give someone who might feel like, yeah, I think this person is creating a rift between me and the children, or maybe they're, completely withholding the children, things of that nature. What would you recommend that they do in those situations?
We got to get a therapist involved.
Yeah.
And usually it's best if it's a court appointed therapist who is forensically trained, who understands family law, who understands all of those dynamics. Now, the people who think alienation doesn't exist, they hate this. They think that it's just an industry, that we're just trying to make money off of you and your pain and your children and steal your kids. And I can tell you that that's not true, but you're probably not going to believe me anyway. So the reason that it's helpful to have those people is because they understand the very complex dynamics of family systems that are separated.
Yeah.
Now, if you get these people involved, they're going to make recommendations to both parents. And when this gets really bad is when either parent will not accept those recommendations and will not make any of those changes. So if you are the alienator and the therapist tells you, you have to stop saying X, Y, or Z. You have to stop contacting your child 20 times a day while they're with the other parent to ask them if they're okay. You have to stop that. And they don't stop. That's where they get themselves in trouble and they end up, with no contact, which is terrible for their child. So you have got to listen to these therapists and take their recommendations, or you are setting your kid up for something awful. That is my position. And then if you are the alienated parent, you're going to be asked to stop being so authoritative, to listen to your children, to apologize if you've done something that has offended them, and to make changes to your parenting. You're going to be asked to do that so that the relationship can get better. And if you won't do that, you cannot anticipate that your relationship's going to get better. So to me, none of this is black and white.
No, it's not black and white. And one of the things, I used to be a liaison between family court and CPS. And one of the things that people who followed me for a while know that I've shared this story before. One of the things that we had to tell both sides is that there's, you have a right to be a parent. And not only do you have a right to be a parent, you don't have to be the perfect parent. And that is a big time struggle for parents on both ends of it, is that they have to accept the fact that this parent may have a completely different view on discipline, and you might view that level of discipline as abusive, and it may not be abusive in terms of law. It may not be abusive in the eyes of court. They may raise their voice more often. There might even be a situation where let's even get to a point where, some kids might be left home by themselves at, let's say at what one parent might consider like an appropriate age where the other parent might disagree. And that might be a reason why someone might decide to alienate, but in the eyes of court, it may not be that big of an issue. You know, if they leave them home at 11, that might be very controversial to some people, where in some states, it may not be that big of a deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. Family court is not in the business of deciding who's the A parent, who's the C parent. The A parent wins against the kids. That's not how it works at all. If you are a D parent, if you are a passing parent, you get parenting time. And you're not even going to be treated like a second-class parent in the state of Arizona. Everybody gets parenting time. Nobody has visitation. Visitation's out the door. Every parent has parenting time. And that's intentional. That terminology change is intentional. Both parents matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a very difficult pill to swallow at times, you know, but it's something that we have to adhere to. What are some, you know, for people who might be going through a divorce, obviously it's divorce season right now as we're recording this. I know that there's always a conversation of litigation versus mediation. How would someone know if maybe mediation is in their best interest and it's actually, you know, feasible and things like that, or actually realistic, versus someone who might be looking at litigation and that, yeah, we do, and we're going to have a fight on our hands?
So to me, it's not either or. To me, like in an ideal world, you have a lawyer who is giving you advice, who's got your back. Even if it's set just for a consultation, you know your rights, you're informed, you have an advocate, and then you should absolutely, without a doubt, negotiate. You should absolutely attend mediation. I think every case should go to mediation. I really do. Whether you have a lawyer with you or you don't, I think you should go to mediation, even if you could only agree on procedural aspects, or even if you could only agree on the smallest of aspects. Anytime you can start getting agreements, it's going to perpetuate more agreements, your relationship moving forward, and therefore your children's well-being is better off if you can reach agreements.
Yeah.
Even if they're not ideal, the ability to remove conflict or to create a spirit of cooperation is great for your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. And when you're able to find places that you can agree, what I find, what I've seen, is that it makes it less likely that you're going to return for modifications, because the reality of it is that you and your co-parent, you and your ex, are going to disagree on multiple different things throughout the year. So when you're preparing that divorce decree, you should understand that that's just the first step. And I tell people that divorces, even if you do finalize it, the actual divorce is actually 10 years down the line. How are the two of you going to get along and make this work, knowing that neither one of you have similar philosophies on certain things, which is typically the reason for the marriage ending, but you're still going to have to figure this out for the sake of the kids and that sort of thing over the next decade. And that can be very, very difficult to do.
Absolutely. It is very, very difficult to do.
Yeah.
My own divorce was very high conflict. We have four kids. It was very high conflict. It's taken forever. There had been two modifications. We finally came to an agreement. And has it alleviated all problems? No. But did it help a little? Yeah. And if we can help a little, that's a win. You got to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's difficult to do, because, you know, you're not going to get, you know, and just like everyone always says, there's no winning in divorce. You know, there's not like a winner or loser. I think that's the perception that a lot of people have going into a divorce. You know, I'm going to win. They're going to see that the judge is going to be on my side because this person cheated or this person did this. But in the end, it's typically split somewhat down the middle, not necessarily talking about custody or anything like that, but it's, you know, both people are going to win some things, both people are going to lose some things as well.
You just need a court order that's going to allow you to move forward and live your life.
Right. Yeah.
If you can get that, you won.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Billy, you are an absolute gem. You have so much experience and so much knowledge, and we appreciate your time. We appreciate you sharing so much information with us. Can you share with us where people can find you at, if they'd like to support you, if they'd like to follow you on social media, things of that nature? Can you share with us where they can find your information?
Absolutely. So if you are representing yourself anywhere in the country, go to winwithoutlawschool.com. That is a program that I own with another family law attorney that is dedicated to teaching you how to represent yourself. We will teach you how to do your paperwork, how to speak so the judge will listen. It's a tremendous resource. So check that out. If you're looking for support, you can join the Modern Divorce Support Group on Facebook. It is a hopping place to be. You can also find me on any of the social media platforms if you just Google my name, or you can come to the law firm website at mymodernlaw.com.
And I am Matthew Pfeiffer. This is the Matt Pfeiffer Experience. And you can find Billy's information down in the show notes, no matter where it is that you are watching, listening to this. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you go down into the comment section. Let us know, let Billy know some takeaways that you took away from today's episode. Make sure you also go over to her social media. Send her some love, send her some follows, some likes, let her know some takeaways, something that maybe you didn't know until she shared her information. And with all that being said, thank you very much, and we will see you in the next episode. You guys have a great one.
Thank you.